Today's reading is John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you were looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen.
Thanks, Beck. So I just want to share a few thoughts and reflections on the meaning of the resurrection, on that passage, and on Easter. So in our kitchen, we have this bowl. This is our sweet bowl. And so if you're lucky on a good day, you might find some sweets in it. And a few weeks ago, we went to, someone in the family had gone to Morrison's to get the weekly shop. And they bought some strawberry bonbons. Now, I love strawberry bonbons. And I decided I'd open this packet and I wouldn't eat them all. You know, that would just not be good. So I just had a few. I just had three or four. And then the next day, I noticed no one had noticed that they were open. So I had three or four more. Anyway, about five days later, they'd all gone. And then my daughter found out and I was in big trouble. And then the following week, when we got some more, and it was family quiz night, and that's when we get all the sweets out. I wasn't allowed any strawberry bonbons. So basically, if you come to this bowl and you find it full of sweets, that's good. That's a good day. But if you come to this bowl and you find it empty, then you're distraught and you're sad. And I was thinking about this because I was thinking about the women in this morning story about Mary. When they reach the tomb, they find the tomb empty. And they're going there to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, because that's what people did in those days. They anointed the body with oils and spices. And so it was part of their grieving, part of their mourning was to do this. And so things were really terrible for them because Jesus, their friend, but also the one they had hoped would be their saviour, their Messiah, had been killed. And he'd been humiliated and he'd been killed in this awful way. And they thought, well, at least we can go and see his body. And yet they get to the grave and his body is gone. They find the tomb empty. Now, seeing that the tomb is empty fills them with despair. And they're distraught by this because they assume that the body has been stolen. So they start asking around, where have you taken this body? Where have you taken his body? So it's as though their grief is kind of, it's all getting even worse. They're kind of, it's loading grief upon grief for them. And they're in this terrible situation. But then over time, as they meet with the resurrected Jesus and as others meet with the resurrected Jesus, they discover that this empty tomb, this emptiness, is actually not a sign of despair, but but it's actually a sign of hope. So the empty tomb becomes a symbol for us as Christians of hope, because the tomb is where a dead body is laid, and yet Jesus isn't dead. So he walks out of that tomb, he walks out of the grave, and that, of course, is a sign of real hope. And it's interesting, isn't it, that actually as our main Christian symbol, we don't have an empty tomb, we have a cross. The cross is the symbol of the Christian faith, which is a strange symbol when you think about it, because it's actually a means of execution. It's actually a means of death and destruction. And yet we have it as a symbol of great hope. Now, I came across this phrase recently called spiritual bypass. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but basically it describes the thing that we can sometimes do as religious people, as people of faith, where instead of going through grief or going through something terrible, we kind of try and use our faith to bypass that pain and that suffering. And it never really works. So, for example, say if I'd lost a family member and I was really upset by this news, but instead of entering into the grief, I just said, oh, it's okay, because Jesus is alive and God is good, so it's all going to be fine, and I'm not going to deal with that grief. I'm just going to, you know, sing some hymns and pray some prayers and everything's going to be fine. That's spiritual bypass. And it might seem in the moment, for me, it might seem like a good option, because I don't want to deal with that grief. I don't want to face that pain. So instead, I'm going to, you know, wave a flag and pretend that everything's okay. But it never works. And actually, it's not the Christian way. Because think about it. We're here on Easter Sunday, where we celebrate the resurrection. But yesterday was Holy Saturday. And before that was Good Friday. Good meaning holy rather than good meaning cheerful. And it's Holy Friday and it's Holy Saturday, because it's really important for us as Christians that we don't just celebrate the resurrection, but actually that we come face to face with the pain and suffering that Jesus went through. Not just so that we can look at it as a historical event, but so that we can recognize that God is with us in our pain and suffering. There's a lot of pain and suffering in the world at the moment, isn't there? There's a lot of confusion and grief. There are some really stark things that we're hearing about on the news, and we perhaps know people who are on the front line and facing these things every day. And as Christians, we don't simply push that away and say, oh, it's fine because Jesus overcame death. No, we, as Christians, we somehow recognize that God is with us in that pain and suffering. We can't just jump ahead to Easter Sunday and get out the flowers and the chocolates. We have to have gone through Good Friday and Holy Saturday too. I was thinking about it like this. I'm quite into running, and I've got two different pairs of running trainers. So these are my road trainers. And as you can see, they've got really big kind of spongy bottoms on them, so that when I'm pounding along the pavements, it doesn't do my knees too much injury. And these are great if it's good weather, if it's fine, and if I'm running on concrete. But if there's muddy weather and if I'm off road, then I need these. These are my fell shoes, and these are quite different. You see, they're designed quite differently. And on the bottom, they've got lots of studs, a bit like football shoes. Now, a few weeks ago, I was running the park run here in Harrogate, and it had been raining for a few weeks beforehand. And as we were going around, it got muddier and muddier. Now, some people had their road shoes on, and when it came to the muddy bits, they were kind of slowing down, and they were trying to not get their, you know, expensive trainers too muddy, and they were struggling a bit. In fact, a couple of people lost their shoes altogether, so they were stuck in the mud. They had to go back and get them. But I was wearing these. And because I was wearing these, when it came to the muddy bits, I was really confident that, A, these wouldn't slip off my feet because they're designed to stay on tightly, even in mud. But also, because of these grips on the bottom, I had confidence that I could keep going through that muddy patch, knowing that these trainers would get me there. And in fact, I managed to overtake quite a few people because I had my fell shoes on. And I was thinking about how, as we go through life, believing in the resurrection and the hope of death being defeated through Jesus's death, it doesn't mean that we're not sad and that we don't deal with grief and pain and that we don't deal with that muddy stuff of life when stuff gets difficult, when the rain comes and it's muddy underfoot. All that stuff still happens. But holding the hope of the resurrection, believing and trusting in our faith in Jesus Christ, means that we can walk life differently. We can run this journey differently because we have this confidence. It's not a confidence in ourselves. It's a confidence in Jesus. So my message to us this Easter is that in the midst of pain and suffering, there is hope. The Christian story is a story of how love overcame death, that love is stronger than death. And now you might be listening to this and you might not have a particular faith at all. You might not be very sure whether there even is a God. But I believe that deep inside of every human being, we know this hope. And sometimes we struggle to connect with it because maybe we've had a bad experience of religion or church, or maybe we see all the bad things that religion does in the world and we think, well, I don't want anything to do with that. But I want to encourage you to connect with that deep hope that is inside of you, even in the midst of despair and in the midst of confusion and chaos. Because I believe that that's been put there by a God who loves you, by a God who sent his son, not just to overcome death and bring everything into brilliant light, but to do that through going through suffering, by being one with us in our suffering, in our death, so that we can know God in this life and in the life to come. So this Easter, on this Easter Sunday, may you know that resurrection hope deep in your hearts, and may it carry you through. Let me pray for you. Dear God, we thank you for Easter. We thank you for this resurrection day when we remember that the tomb was empty, that you walked from the grave, bringing eternal life, not just for you, but for all of us, for the whole of the renewal of the whole of creation. We thank you for that hope, Lord. And I pray that that hope would go deep into our hearts and our minds. We don't know what the coming weeks and months will bring, but we do know that you are with us, and we do know that you have overcome death, that we do not have to fear even death itself, for you are stronger, for your love is stronger. Help us, Lord, to know that faith, and may it grow in each one of us in the coming days. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.